Good evening. How is everybody tonight? Thank you for taking time to come here to Redford Aldersgate for this most special Monday Thursday presentation. Welcome to the upper room. At least the upper room depicted the way Leonardo da Vinci imagined it over 500 years ago. I want to welcome you all here tonight, especially our guests. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Steve Williams, and it's my pleasure to guide you through the evening. The portrait took Da Vinci approximately 3 years to complete. He used common people from the streets of Milan, Italy, as models. But over the years, people have marveled over the intricate sensitivity of the expressions on each of the disciples. During the tense moments following Jesus announcing to them that one of them would betray him. It is my sincere hope that as you witness these disciples struggle with feelings that are very similar to our own, you realize just how God loves you and accepts us and uses us to do great things in spite of our many weaknesses. Please be seated. And join me in response to the call to remembrance. We come tonight to remember the Last Supper Jesus ate with his disciples. You are also invited to join with them and be a disciple of Christ. The disciples of old were not perfect. They were sometimes slow to understand and caught up in their own desires, yet God was able to use them in a very special way. Certainly, God has a unique place in the kingdom for each of us. As you listen to the thoughts and feelings of the disciples, you may come to grips with your own strengths and weaknesses, so that you may more fully commit yourself to true discipleship. Now, as the lights are dimmed, prepare yourselves. Prepare to journey back in time. Let us use our imaginations and our minds to go back to that upper room that night in Jerusalem. For the scripture says, "And when it was evening, he came with the 12." And while they were at the table eating, Jesus said to them,
"Truly, I say unto you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me now."
And they all began to be sorrowful and say to him, one after the other,
"Lord, is it I?" "Lord, is it I?" "Am I the one to betray you here? How could I leave you and run in fear? Please don't let me betray you. Crucify you. Oh, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I?"
"I am Andrew, brother of Simon Peter." These were astounding words spoken by our Lord. I can hardly believe that there's a traitor among us. We were all so very carefully chosen by him. Could he suspect me? I don't see how he could. Why, I've always brought people to Jesus, important people, like my brother Simon. After all, if it weren't for me, he would not have his rock on which to build his church. Does that sound a bit facetious? I guess I've struggled with feelings of jealousy from time to time. But Jesus favored Simon. He named him Peter, which means the rock. And whenever Jesus did anything special, he always took Peter, James, and John with him. But I was never included. I can understand why Jesus would be so fond of my brother. He's strong, and he isn't afraid to speak out. I wish I were more like him. Sure, I've had feelings of jealousy from time to time, like all brothers do, but certainly they wouldn't control me to the extent that I would hurt the ones that I love. Or would they? Could it be me? Jesus has spoken of dying in sacrificial love. What would any of us do in the face of scorn, persecution, or death? Will my character break? Will I grow spineless? Or will I be strong like my brother and as loving and forgiving as our Lord when the test comes? I hope so. I hope so. But I wonder, is it I, Lord? Is it I?
Lord, is it I?
I am James, the son of Alphaeus. But most of the time they call me James the Less. How would you like to go around with a name like that? The Less. It really can lead to an inferiority complex. When I was a kid, I thought it was because I was less tall. In other words, I was short, really short, and rather puny. And even as I grew up, that name seemed to stick with me. Then I decided it was because I was less educated, and less wealthy, and less important. But then I met Jesus, and he's helped me realize everyone's important in God's eyes, and that God loves women and children and poor people and sick people and people not well educated, and yes, even short people. So you can label people with lots of different labels, but still they're all important to Jesus. So as I travel around, my insecurities gradually melted away. And I had less anger and less guilt and less need to feel important in the world's eyes because I was important in God's eyes. So being James the Less took on new meaning because I was a new person. But now, Jesus has said that one of us will betray him. Who could it be? Surely he couldn't mean me. I've never talked a lot, and I love him deeply. Actually, my whole family follows Jesus. My brother's a believer, and my mother often travels with us, and she's good friends with Mary Magdalene. Nah, I could never betray Jesus. That would hurt my mother too much. I couldn't do that to her. Or Jesus. But still, I guess there's always room for doubt. I think I am strong, but could one of my old insecurities come back and cause me to do something wrong? Insecurities, they can cause a person to do terrible things. I don't know. I hope not, but is it I, Lord? Is it I?
Lord, is it I?
Thank you.
Lord, is it I?
I am Thomas, sometimes called Didymus, meaning twin. That's because I am a twin. However, my brother is not a follower, but people still call me twin because it seems like there's two distinct parts of me. There's a strong, faithful part, a part that's willing to take risks. Do you remember when Jesus was being threatened by the Jews in Bethany? I was the one that said, "Let us also go to Jerusalem with him so that we may die with him." But that's a strong part. There's another part, a part that's skeptical, a part that needs things proved. I can't understand things that cannot be proved rationally. For example, just a few minutes ago, Jesus was talking about going to prepare a place for us. He said, "You know the way that leads to the place where I am going." But we didn't know. So I said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how do we know the way to get there?" That seemed like a logical question. And then he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." But I didn't understand what he meant by that. And now he's saying that there's a traitor amongst us. Now I think this is going to be really hard to prove, since all of us left everything to follow him. Surely it could not be me. I'm always by his side. I don't always say much, but I'm there. But see, that's the strong, faithful part. Perhaps it's the doubting part of me that causes problems. Is it I, Lord? Is it I?
Lord, is it I?
I am Simon Peter, brother of Andrew. They call me the big fisherman. I was just trying to get John the Beloved to whisper into my ear as to who the traitor is and what this is all about. Do such a thing. Who would betray my Lord if I knew? I cut the heart from the stone. I know it can't be me. Jesus once told me I was the rock upon which he would build his church. That was after he asked me who I thought he was, and I immediately replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That was definitely the right answer. Because after that, he told me he'd give me the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I am one of his favorites, you know. He always chooses me to go with him whenever he only wants a few people around. There's always a mystery as to why he chose me to be a part of the inner circle with James and John, and not my brother Andrew, who brought me to Jesus. I did enjoy being a part of that inner circle, though. I saw spectacular things. Like the time Jairus came and asked Jesus to heal his little girl. Well, after a commotion in the crowd, where a woman was healed by just touching his cloak, he took James and John and me with him. The little girl was dead. Until Jesus took her by the hand, I saw it with my own eyes. Then there was that tremendous experience on the mountain where James and John and I saw speaking with Moses and Elijah. And we heard the voice of God come from a cloud. I was petrified. I fell face down on the ground. And Jesus came over, touched me
Yet could it be me? I do such impetuous things sometimes. I don't always think before I act. Jesus knows this. He even called me the devil once. That was when I tried to rebuke him for saying that he had to suffer. Who was I? Think that I could rebuke him? Yeah. Must be that old impetuous nature of mine again. But could that impetuous nature of mine cause me to do something so terrible as to betray my Lord? The Lord isn't I. Is it I?
Lord, is it I?
I am called Thaddeus, sometimes, but my name is Judas. I don't like to be called Judas, though, because then everyone confuses me with Judas Iscariot. And out of the 12, I like him the least. I'm not sure why. But there has always been a barrier there between us. So I'd rather be called Thaddeus. Jesus has often said things that I do not understand. Like a few moments ago when he was speaking of something called the Comforter, he said this helper would stay with us forever and reveal the truth about God. He said the world wouldn't receive this Comforter, though, because it couldn't see him or her or it, whatever this comforter helper is, some kind of spirit, I guess. A Holy Spirit? Jesus said we would know this spirit, but the world wouldn't. He also says that he, Jesus, will be leaving us, but that we will not be left alone, and that he will come back to us. Not only that, he said the world won't see him anymore, but that we will, as well as this comforter that God was going to send. Now, this all sounds like double talk to me. The other disciples were all sitting there shaking their heads like they understood. But I couldn't do that. I guess I've always been rather outspoken, and if I don't understand something, I say so. So I said, Lord, how can it be that you can reveal yourself to us and not the world? Maybe I should have kept my mouth shut. But I wanted to know. I didn't understand. His answers were just as confusing. It's still a mystery to me. Now he says one of us will betray him. This certainly is a mystery too. I know each of these men. We each have our good points, you know, and our bad. But I have never seen this kind of evil in any one of us. I asked my good friend Simon if he thinks our Lord is speaking of me. Simon does not answer. Our Lord does not answer. Is it I, Lord? Is it I?
Lord, is it I?
I am Nathaniel Bartholomew. I'm a student of the law. I love to read and study. I was studying under the fig tree the first I heard of Jesus. I'll always remember that day. I was reading about the promise of the Messiah, and my good friend Philip came and told me he had found the Messiah. I was excited. Finally, the Messiah had arrived. But then he told me it was Jesus of Nazareth. I know my scriptures well. I know the Messiah is to come from Bethlehem, not Nazareth. So my heart sank and I said, can anything good come from Nazareth? I can remember Philip not arguing with me, but I seen a twinkle in his eye when he said to come and see. I went with him, even though I was skeptical. As I came up, Jesus said, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. I couldn't believe it. He was talking about me. And then he told me what I had been doing that day. It was almost as he could read my mind. Right away, I knew he was someone special indeed. Quickly, I said, you are the Son of God and the King of Israel. I may have been skeptical at first, but I was quick to realize the truth. Maybe he knows how important the law is to me, is the reason why he thinks that I am to betray him. I've learned so much from Jesus. I've learned the important law was love, love of God, and love of others. I couldn't go against that law and betray my Lord. Or could I? Jesus has always known me better than I know myself. Is it I, Lord? Is it I?
Lord, is it I?
I am John, sometimes called John the Beloved. Simon Peter just asked me to whisper the name of the traitor into his ear. He thinks, because of our Lord's deep affection for me, that he may have told me who it was, but I don't know who it is. If anyone should know, it's Peter. He is our spokesperson. Jesus says it's one who dipped in the dish with him, but we all dipped in the dish with him, including me. I'm deeply concerned. Could it be me? Does he know something about my character that even I don't know? I can't believe this of myself. I've come a long way since that day my brother James and I left our fishing nets to follow him. I've become so close with him. I'm even close with his mother. I go everywhere with him. Peter, James, and I are like family to him. Like an inner circle. When he doesn't want a big crowd, we still get to go with him. Like the time he brought Jairus' daughter back from the dead. Now that was something. Or the time the four of us went up to the mountaintop and he was transfigured right in front of our very eyes. I've seen all kinds of miracles. With the crowds. With the group of disciples. And with just a few of us. It couldn't be me. I've seen too much. He depends on me. Like tonight, it was Peter and I who got things ready for this dinner. I could never betray him, after all. I think I'm his favorite. But he did say it was one of us. I don't know. Our relationship has been good, but it hasn't been perfect. I sometimes suggest things that I think are great ideas, but he doesn't. Like the time I told this guy to stop driving out demons in Jesus' name. He wasn't part of our group. I thought he should be stopped, but Jesus told me, don't try and stop him, because for whomever is not against you is for you. I thought it was a good idea, but I was wrong. Also, he didn't like it when my brother James and I suggested that we could command fire to come down from heaven and destroy the Samaritan village when the people there wouldn't allow us to enter. I thought it was a great idea. They deserved to be taught a lesson, but Jesus wasn't too happy about that one either. And he wasn't happy whenever my mother suggested that James and I be put on his right and left when he comes into his kingdom. Could it be me? When the time comes, will John, the Beloved, become John, the Betrayer? God forbid. God forbid. Is it I, Lord? Lord, is it I?
Lord, is it I?
All the others come from Galilee. My home is the village of Kerioth in Judea. Hence, I am known as Judas of Kerioth, or Judas Iscariot, the only Judean in the group. The others must have confidence in me because they elected me their treasurer. And Jesus surely must believe in me because he chose me as one of the 12. Despite what the others may say about my impatience, stinginess, and ambition, he believed in me. If he hadn't, he would have chosen someone else in my place. Some say that I have appropriated these funds for my own personal use, and that Jesus' words about the love of money and greed was personally directed at me. Others keep reminding me that Jesus was referring to me when he said, "Did I choose you 12, and one of you is a devil?" Of course I complain when Mary washed his feet with that expensive ointment and perfume. I still think it was a waste of money. And if I conspired with the chief priest and I have 30 pieces of silver on my person, that's my affair. I believe in him, but someone has to force the issue and make him assert himself as God's Messiah. He refuses to make such a move. Well, I've made one. He hints that he knows what I have done. He said so when we dipped our bread in the same dish. My heart isn't as dark as some people think it is. Nor is your soul as pure. And what would you do if you were in my place and wanted him to do something dramatic and startling to usher in his kingdom? What would you do? And if you were in his place, what would you do? Should I ignore his remarks? Or, like the others, should I piously, self-righteously ask myself, is it I? Is it I?
Lord, is it I?
Also known as Philip the Greek. Although I was one of the first disciples, I have stayed mainly in the background. I have, however, done many good things. I brought Nathanael to Jesus. I brought the Greeks to Jesus when they sought the Messiah. I helped to feed the 5,000. When Jesus asked where we might buy enough food to feed so large a group, I told him it would take at least 200 days' wages to buy enough food for so many. But an amazing thing happened. Andrew found a small boy that had 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Jesus told us to have the crowd be seated. After he had blessed this little bit of food, he told us to pass it out. It never seemed to end. After all had eaten, he told us to collect the leftovers, and there were 12 full baskets. I was there. I helped, but I don't understand how it happened. I don't fully comprehend Jesus and his message. Just a few minutes ago, he said he was going to prepare a place for us and we would know where to go. Thomas said, "How will we know where to go and to follow when we don't even know where you've gone?" I thought it was a good question. I was with Thomas. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." I said, "If you could just show us God. Jesus has done so many marvelous things, I didn't think this would be too difficult a thing for him to do. It would be so much easier to believe if we could just see God." I could tell he was disappointed. He said, Philip, have I not been with you all of these days and still you have not seen me? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Does he truly think that I have not seen him? Does he think that I will betray him? Is there something so terrible in my character that would allow me to do such a thing as betray Jesus? I'm slow to understand Jesus. Could it be me? Is it I?
Lord, is it I?
I am Simon. I have been called Simon the Zealot to distinguish me from Simon Peter. I have been called this because I was a of a rebel group of religious nationalists who believed in fighting Rome and her taxation by force. We believed in no rule but God's rule. We gave those Romans trouble at every turn of the road. I think I was first attracted to Jesus because I thought that he would use his miracles and his power to overcome Rome and to end her tyranny and oppression. However, Jesus taught us to love our enemies and resist not evil. He said that the ends could not justify the means, and that violence, even a cause as noble as religious freedom, was simply unacceptable. Instead, time and time again, our Lord showed us the power of love, which he manifested through a life of total integrity and complete compassion. Jesus, I realized, was a revolution of the Spirit. This realization has completely changed my heart and my mind. I now agree with our Lord that the only way is the way of love. There is no longer any room in my heart or my mind for treachery or deceit. I have felt myself being miraculously transformed from a man of violence into a man of peace. I will have no part of such betrayal. Or will my political zeal compromise my commitment to our Lord? Could my impatience for change corrupt my loyalty, resulting in betrayal? I don't think so. But I don't know. I don't actually know. God, help me! Is it I, Lord? Is it I?
Lord, is it I?
I'm Matthew, also called Levi. I'm a publican. I left behind a whole life of wealth in order to follow Jesus. I had a responsible job as a tax collector. I lived a life of comfort and security. I have more goods than all of these 12 combined. So it couldn't have been me. You know, being a tax collector, not what I'd like that to be. And with good reason. I mean, no one likes a guy who takes your hard-earned money and gives it to the government, do they? And it's true what you heard. From time to time, I overcharge it. A little extra in my pocket. I'm the most unlikely of all of these guys up here. Just look at me. I'm different than the rest of them. But after I heard Jesus teach and preach, saw him heal and change lives, why I decided I'd follow him anywhere without question or apology. See, I'll never forget the day we first met. I was in my office. There by the Sea of Galilee.
Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Am I the one to betray you here? How could I leave you and run in fear? Oh, please don't let me betray you. Crucify you. Oh, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Like the disciples of old, we ask, will all our failings impair our task? As the world does, crucify, crucify you. Oh, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I?
Is it I, Lord? Is it I? What a compelling question. But it is one that all of us need to ask. For as Matthew said, within each of us is a potential saint, and also within each of us is a potential traitor. Each of the disciples bring to us a reminder of the pressures our society puts on us today. Materialism, violence, war, poverty, it's all around us. So how do we live in our society and yet maintain faithful disciples? The struggles seem unending. Like all the disciples a long time ago, we should ask ourselves regularly, Lord, is it I? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we realize the ways we struggle with our own imperfections. We know that all too often each and every one of us fails you. Forgive us, we pray, and use us as you did the disciples long ago. For thine truly is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Each disciple had their imperfections, yet God went on to use each of them in a very special way. For even though one would betray him, another would deny him, and all would forsake him, the scripture goes on to say, as they were at the table eating, Jesus took the bread. After he blessed it, he broke it and gave it to them, saying,
Hey, this is my body.
In the same way, he took the cup, and after he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying,
This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day that I eat it again with my Father in heaven.
Tonight, we are all welcome at the Lord's table. You do not have to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion. If you wish to take communion, please do so by exiting your pews on the side aisles and then returning to your seats up the center aisle. We will have the disciples dismiss you by rows, and we'll also have the disciples to give you communion. Now, if you would all stand, let's join together and sing, "Were You There?" Thank you, God, for this Spirit-filled night. Guide us through the next 60 hours as we reflect on the importance of Holy Week. And please open our minds to your wisdom, fill our hearts with your love, and permeate our souls with the Holy Spirit. And as we leave in silence tonight, we should all reach deep down and ask that question, Lord, is it I? Is it I? Amen.